that gorgeous little animal over there, I could see a nice muff, a very nice muff.
Okay, those poodles over there.
Well, they're small poodles, so it would take a while to collect the hair. They're very frisky, fun animals. So I'd say a nice scar. Spaniels, one of my favourites, I must say. They're very loyal dogs, so maybe socks. Pugs. Now, I know you should never say this, but I personally never have got on with a pug, so I don't feel I should say. My intuition would say you'd make a pair of gloves. Beautiful border collie, lovely luminosity. I'd say a fez.
Soñolienta por la nana del horizonte, vestidos con colores arrogantes.
Knitting with dog hair began at the time of the Spanish Inquisition in the 15th century. When the Jews of Catalonia were told that they had to get out, most saw Eastern Europe as their only option. But the cold, how would they deal with the cold?
¿De dónde vienen tan extraños, tan orgullosos?
For those of you familiar with Catalonia, you'll realize its close proximity to the Pyrenees Mountains, and that where there's a Pyrenees Mountain, there's always a Pyrenees Mountain dog. The Jews of this region, being pragmatic as well as good with their hands, decided to spin the hair of these dogs and quickly knit them into garments. Garments suitable for the unrelenting Polish and Russian winters. To this day, the Pyrenees Mountain Dog is one of the most popular dogs for those who spin and knit dog hair. And to the Pyrenees Mountain Dog, the Jews of Catalan ancestry are eternally grateful.
Una vieja costumbre a la que llaman libertad.
My name is Shag Pappas, and I'd like to welcome all of the Radio National listeners to the Environmental Dog Day Carnival here in Sydney. This is, of course, International Dog Day, and we're in beautiful Centennial Park, just by the finish line of a walk which has gone around the park. The purpose of the day is to inform people all over the world, and especially in Australia, of the matters concerning dogs, environmental matters of recycling, issues like that. And it's been a tremendous success, as you can see around you. There must be, I don't know, 20,000 people here today. It's an incredible response, and I'm incredibly happy as one of the main organisers of this carnival.
Husky,
I'm
is
very
born
happy and
for Arctic
quite tired,
conditions.
I tell you. So why not a beautiful fur-lined
Whippet?
Fast dogs. Whippets are fast. So I don't know, a racing scarf. Or a little jacket for jogging in, something like that. Staffordshire Terrier, very difficult for your amateur weaver or knitter. Incredibly complex carding process to get a good material, but once you do get it, it's a beautiful, beautiful fine material. Not like a pashmina at all, but almost floats in air. More light and vibrant than a pashmina. It's got a lovely coat, fantastic flocculence. I'd say a wrap. A wrap or a shawl. It depends how much it molts. Rottweiler, lovely dog, sensitive, generous dog, very loyal, very fierce, very proud and very strong dog. So I'd say a jacket. It's a big dog, so it would take a while from a dog like that. It's very short hair, so a couple of years collecting the hair and then a fabulous jacket. Not a formal jacket, but a casual jacket. I mean, you're smiling at these suggestions, but that's the point. You love your animal, you know your animal. It's not like getting a jumper from Kmart. You have to be intelligent, you have to think about it. You've already made the effort to start recycling and stop wasting. You've got to be more intuitive about what you wear, what you do in all aspects of life. This is no different. If you're going to make a garment from a whippet, use your sense of intuition and make something that's appropriate to the whippet. Feel what's right. Don't make a footstool cover from a whippet. Do you see what I'm saying?
Why a dog?
My interest in dog hair started when I was a teenager. My father ran a dog grooming business. Actually groomed all sorts of animals, mostly dogs and some cats, all sorts of animals. And as I became more interested as a teenager in issues of waste and recycling in our society, as a lot of my friends did, I became aware that there was a huge potential here and it was a crying shame, the amount of hair and other stuff that was just thrown away. So much waste in our society. And I began to realize there was a way to solve this problem. There was something we could do about it. And I became interested in ways of using the hair, especially, and other stuff that came from my dad's salon.
It is so entrancing, the fabric and the fibre itself. And having a silver poodle myself called Lucy, that the magpies used to chase when they were nesting. So I thought, oh, well, if they can weave it into their nest, I can perhaps do it with my knitting needles.
Good girl, good girl. Head up.
Well, I've always knitted ever since I was a little girl with various other fibres and actually became interested in spinning about 20 years ago of various fibres, and one of my friends had a Samoyed dog which she used to clip, and I felt the fibre was soft enough to have a go at spinning, and so I did, and I've done some dyeing with it, and it comes up to be a very soft, fluffy fibre and doesn't really have any dog odour either.
Up until this day, the Jews continue to be closely associated with the rag trade, or schmatters, as they call it. For the listener with a thorough understanding of the Yiddish language, you'll know that the word schmatter does not, as most think, mean rag. According to Yiddish linguists, the word literally translates as cloth spun from dog hair. The origins of the word schmatter are obvious and clearly stem from the Catalan language.
Putting the environment first.
Right. One of the problems in cities all over the world is the surprising amount of dog hair that is created and is put into landfill. That dog hair won't just disappear. It lasts forever, just like human hair, or close to forever, as far as we know. And there is a very serious problem with the amount of dog hair that exists. If you burn dog hair, it can cause problems in the atmosphere. It actually has carcinogens in it, which have shown to have, in Mexico, problems with young children, especially in their formative years. And we do in Australia and in the West generally, there is some dog hair that's burnt. If dog hair is sent out to sea, it can cause huge problems with the fishing industry. Dog hair can get caught in the guts of fish and cause them to die.
Which brings me to the story of my great-grandmother, Sarah Ben-David. Born at the end of the 19th century, Sarah was raised in a small village outside the Catalan city of Girona. Unlike most Jews of the region, Sarah's ancestors had remained in Spain throughout and after the Inquisition, making a living from farming Pyrenees mountain dogs for their hair, harvesting it, spinning it, weaving it, and of course, knitting it.
So I took up knitting. I started knitting with dog hair, which is a very satisfying process. And I also learned about weaving and other ways of matting hair together to make garments and to make things that you could have around the home. And I became well known for this throughout the local community, and I was prevailed upon to start classes in this thing because as my expertise rose, I found there weren't many people in the world that did this, that I could find. And so I became a little bit of an expert. in the area. And I started the business. 4 years ago I started my business, which, as I've already said, is Canine Environmental Consulting Services here in Sydney. And we started running classes. I took on some employees. The business is booming. Everyone
had a good day. Putting on the dog.
Over here I have a garment that I actually did for my daughter some years ago, and it's made with the top part is, it's in pale mauves. The top part is made with one ply samoyed and one ply silk. It is very fluffy, and the more you wash it, the fluffier it goes. And the bottom section is done with silk and merino wool. And I've just edged the bottom ribbing with a couple of rows of samoyed just to match the top part. And it has little pearl buttons down the front, a little short sleeve top to wear for best.
See, I spin enough white wool of a sheep, and then I think it would be nice to have a little black poodle somewhere in the garment, or two black poodles in the garment. So then you get a graph, so you know you have to count all the stitches, and it's exactly like following a graph of everything. It is three stitches here and so many stitches later on until you have knitted the poodle inside the knitting you're doing. It's called intarsia.
Oh, that reminds me, I did actually make a few little table mats with some of a Lucy's soft coat that was wonderful for glass top tables and drinks and stuff like that.
And then I'll do that out of the poodle hair, so you have a white flat jumper with a very knotty, because poodle hair is not easy to spin, so it always gets lumpy, and that makes it look more like a poodle then, so it sort of stands out in the jumper.
By the time Sarah was 20, she was operating dog farms all over the country. Apart from being a keen businesswoman, she was driven by altruism and is still considered to be the first Spanish woman environmentalist. But then Franco rose to power, and along with attempting to stamp out the use of the languages and cultural practices of the Catalans, the Basques, and the Gallegos, he was also determined to put an end to Pyrenees dog farming.
No tag, come on.
I mean, there are a lot of people that don't want their dogs to just be another symbol of waste in the society. So many people associate dog owners with animals that leave waste on the footpath, that foul the footpath and move on. Selfish people. But that's not true at all. They love their animals and they love the environment, and it's all part of the same process. So, as I said, interest grew exponentially, and my expertise became quite vast. And I'd say, without being arrogant, I'd say I was the biggest expert in dog hair garment creation in the world, as far as I know. And of course, if anyone knows more than me, I'd love to talk to them, because it would be a fascinating conversation for both of us, I'm sure.
Stop vacuuming and start spinning.
I have some yarn I've already started to spin, which I carded, which is a pink samoyed. I'm just threading it through the orifice now. I'm going to put into my lap. I'm going to start the spinning.
Of a woolly worsted spin.
There are still a few little bumpy bits in it.
Spinning with a Z twist, which means direction, which is wheel. S spin, anti-clockwise, which is what I like.
About allergies.
There are lots of issues to be aware of. There are lots of matters on how the finished garment is going to feel and how it's going to hang and how you can cut it and that sort of thing. And interestingly, those matters aren't just to do with the flocculence or the nap or the floss or the fuzz or the pile. They're also to do with psychic or spiritual or emotional issues. You have to concern yourself with how the dog's emotional state is too. And this is actually important. I'll get on to more details of breeds in a minute, but for any dog, if it's an unhappy dog, you're going to make an unhappy garment from it. There's been studies in Florida have shown that you can of course analyze how a dog has been physically and emotionally through taking cuttings of its hair and using chemical and other processes to discern it. This also works in a psychic, in an emotional way. You can tell how the dog has been. And it works in a reverse direction too, in that if you were to wear a shirt from a dog that had a very unhappy life, you could, if you were a sensitive person, find yourself not only coming out in a rash, but emotionally feeling uncomfortable or emotionally itchy. I mean, it may sound crazy, but it's happened to people I know. It's something that you must be careful of. So this is a warning to your listeners. Don't just leap into this. You need expert advice. You need to go to the experts and call us. That's www.cecs.com.au, and we have a lot of information there that your listeners might find useful.
But Sarah Ben-David came from proud stock. Her ancestors had, after all, survived the Spanish Inquisition, so a little problem like Franco wasn't going to put her off. She bought thousands of cheap olive trees from the tiny Maltese island of Gozo, with the idea of creating a facade that would put Franco's men off her dog's scent. The Maltese farmers were delighted but surprised, as this particular type of olive was inedible and grew more rapidly than dandelion. But they suited my clever great-grandmother perfectly. They looked like olives, they grew fast, and they provided a cover for her dog farms, the produce of which was flourishing in the black markets of Eastern Europe, particularly Poland.
I put my two yarns together, bright pink samoyed. It will be the same. I'm going to put my wheel in the opposite direction.
Run through my fingers.
I'll let it go. It has kinks in it.
And then you wash it.
It makes it look a nice, balanced, knittable yarn.
If you're not sure of the pedigree of the dog, and by pedigree I don't mean the usual dog show type thing, but I mean how happy the dog has been prior to having the hair cut, and this will last as long as the garment, so you must be aware of that, then don't wear it next to your skin. It's okay to wear it with the garment in between, a cotton or something like that in between, but not next to the skin. Another important thing to remember is never wear it with a nylon undergarment. This can cause strange problems with static.
By the time Franco died, my great-grandmother was an old woman. But despite the general's efforts, her dog hair farms had spread all over the country and into Portugal, Andorra, the Canary Islands, and even France. Without realizing it, people all over Europe were wearing garments made from dog hair. Some of Paris and Milan's best designers used Sarah's dog hair, at first spinning it together with other fibres, including wool and silk, but finally seeing the virtues of the pure dog hair garment.
Being a friend to man's best friend.
Research in Florida again, a lot of research on this stuff is done in Florida, has shown that if you have a dog which is unhappy, unstable, it has behavioural problems, then interestingly, what you can do is make, knit, weave a coat from a dog which has been happy or is happy, specifically was happy the few months before the hair grew. Put it on this unhappy dog and it will have a profound effect. Studies have shown that this is the case.
We've now completed the yarn. I take the drive band off the reel. I use a nitty noddy and it has a crossbar at one end and another crossbar at right angles to the top one. You can just wind the yarn off round your hands or the back of the chair.
As been done in grandma's time.
It's much easier using a nitty noddy.
The only thing that happens is when you spin dog hair, and it doesn't matter how many other skeins of wool you line up, and you get another dog, it immediately picks out the dog head and says, who was that?
If you went out in the rain, or if you got wet, or a bit hot, you and your garment smelled exactly the same as they did on the dog.
They go by the scent and say, that's a dog. The other one is a sheep, or it's silk, or it's whatever. And they ignore us, but they go straight for the skein that was the dog hair. And so when you wear the jumper that's made out of all dog, you can bet your life that the dogs will love you.
With my great-grandmother's death came the end of dog hair farming in Europe and the Canary Islands. My grandfather, who was Sarah's sole heir, chose to sell off all the farms and sink his money into commercially produced mayonnaise. Rumour has it that all the dogs were euthanized and sold to the Academy of Taxidermy in Palma de Mallorca.
All around us there are all of these different breeds, and your listeners will have different sorts of dogs. So I just want to quickly give them a hint on what they can expect from their particular dog if it's they're going to collect their stuff from there. For example, an English sheepdog, beautiful mohair, a mohair equivalent, something like that, lovely, fluffy, sort of curly thing that you can get from a nice English sheepdog. Cashmere would be your border collie. Angora-type fabric would be something like a long-haired dachshund, which is commonly known as a sausage dog. Your listeners might know it as sausage dog. Fair Isle, cable knit type thing, you know that. Bichon Frise, that's generally what you do with that. And Pashmina, which is good for underwear, it's incredibly fine. You know the story, pass it through the eye of a wedding ring. Don't know why you'd want to do that, but it's very soft, very gorgeous. Something like a miniature Mexican hairless hunting dog, for example.
Good girl, good girl. Head
up. Making your own fashion statement.
For my own clothing personally, I always mix it with my own hair from my dreadlocks. I like to weave that in to create shape, contour. But that's entirely a matter for you. And human hair is hard to deal, it's hard to weave, it's hard to knit. Dog hair is a much more malleable material. And human hair doesn't fall so well as a finished material either. So you have to be careful of that. Human hair has very little floss and very low fuzz, whereas dog hair, it's the oil content issue. Dog hair often has extremely high floss and excellent pile. So, yeah, it's up to you. I've heard people mixing it with nylon and with wool and pretty much any material you can think of. There's even a woman I know in Maitland who mixes it with hemp. And her garments are quite popular in Southeast Asia.
My grandfather made a fortune from his mayonnaise, but sadly didn't live long enough to enjoy it. One night, having decided to sleep at the mayonnaise factory, as it was too late to return home, he stepped outside to relieve himself. An overly conscientious guard dog, thinking that he was an intruder, attacked him so fiercely that by the time help arrived, he was dead. Some say that it was his punishment for having ordered the deaths of all of his mother's dogs.
There's my personal range, which I use. You can see what I'm wearing now. This jumper, for example, uses my own hair mixed with my dog's hair. I have four dogs. And the patterns you can see in the designs, the dog head designs, are from the hairs of each of those dogs. The face that you see here is from Pluto. That's my Labrador, and I've made that his face out of his hair, with my own hair involved in there. I didn't think to put my own face in there; it didn't seem a good idea. That's my personal range, and that's my statement about my ecology, my sense of recycling, and all that. But there's also my commercial range, which is available in salons in Melbourne and Sydney. It's not a mass produced range, as I said. I have issues about that personally, but it's a more haute couture kind of range, and it involves evening wear, formal wear, and also I've become recently interested in party going, nightclub wear. And a small range of swimwear, but I'm having problems with swimwear because of the way the salt water reacts with the hair that I'm using. I need to finesse the formula.
I was watching my own dog at play last weekend. She looked most peculiar without her winter coat. self-conscious, even embarrassed. My 9-year-old niece had come up from Melbourne, and the first thing she asked me was if we could give Poppy a haircut. I explained that this had to be done professionally, as Poppy's coat is very thick. She insisted that she had received some training in dog grooming, so I finally gave in. As I watched her trim, snip, cut and brush, I imagined I was watching Sarah, my great-grandmother, as a young girl, full of hopes and dreams, with her whole life before her.